This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halton. He's one of the engineers at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. I have had a second cup of coffee, too. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, as the 9 o'clock hour is usually the easier hour than the 10 o'clock hour. You guys all seem to wake up at 10. I understand. I don't blame you. But we're here for you starting at 9, so let's get online. Also, as usual and customary, we do have some technology news for you. What do you got cooking over there, Dennis?
Well, there's yet another data breach that affected 2.1 million people.
Lovely.
I mean, old news.
Yeah, right.
But what makes this story interesting is two different things. It's a DNA testing firm.
Yeah.
They had a database on one of their systems that was breached.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Like a 23andMe kind of thing?
Yeah, one of those outfits. Or yeah. DNA matching service where they take somebody's 23andMe results and bank them and then compare them to something else and link them up. And
right.
Now, here's the thing. They saved credit card numbers with expiration dates.
Unbelievable.
And
the security,
the CVV codes. Okay.
Amazing.
They saved them.
Why would you think you're going to be a repeat customer after you've got the DNA result? Well, I need to test it again, I think. I'm going to pay you again. Why would you save
those
results?
Well, I think this is a subscription service, and you can have access to their database. I think it's like a family tree kind of thing? Well, access to the aggregate data is what they were selling, I believe.
Okay.
At any rate.
Yeah.
The problem with all of that is, mm-hmm. according to PCI compliance standards,
right.
which we know about,
yes,
they're not allowed to keep that extra information. They can have the credit card number,
mm-hmm.
But they're not allowed to keep anything that makes that account identifiable, which would be the expiration date for the card and the CVV code.
Mm.
And even if they want to do a repeat, like a monthly billing,
mm-hmm.
the PCI standard allows for that, but in a different way than just storing those numbers explicitly.
Right. And open.
And right. And anybody who's programming this kind of thing already knows that.
Generally. Yeah.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
If they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is, all of this data was collected up between 2004 and 2012. And my question is, What business reason do you have to even keep that database at all in 2021?
Well, because programmers never write the purge function.
Oh, yeah. They're data pack rats. They want to keep everything. And they're worried that maybe some boss somewhere is going to ask them, hey, we need to be able to repeat bill these people. We better keep that data so that we can repeat bill.
Yeah. All those friends pointing to work.
Those, you know, C-level guys don't necessarily know how any of this works. And they don't know that the data itself is useless.
Right.
But now some bad guys have information on 2.1 million people. Mm-hmm. They can probably reverse engineer the expiration date on some of these cards mm-hmm. if they're still active. Mm-hmm. And they can steal. Mm-hmm. And they can also use the information for identity theft, too.
We'll put the information out on our website. You guys can read the story yourself. In other news, this is one of my favorite ones when it comes down to cryptocurrency, Badger DAO. It's a DeFi. It's defunded. This is kind of a funny headline here by the Register. Defunded as hackers apparently nab millions in crypto tokens. So Badger DAO, it's a maker of a decentralized finance DeFi protocol, said on Wednesday that it's investigating reports that millions in user funds have been stolen.
Wow.
As Badger engineers investigate this, all smart quote-unquote, smart contracts have been paused to prevent further withdrawals, the company wrote in a Twitter post. Our investigation is ongoing, and we will release further information as soon as it's possible. So basically, this is a company that thinks it's probably got $31 million in losses. And basically, what happened was they have said that what's going on here is that the bad guys are actually injecting malicious script into their app, into the web-based interface of their app. Good testing on that side, huh?
Nice.
This is a company that's trying to deal with securing fake money, cryptocurrency for you.
Oh.
The malicious script would interact with the injected Web3 provider and intercept any Web3 transactions. When it did that, it would search the API for the user's highest SETT balance and request approval for that SETT for the hacker's address. And then they ran it for a couple hours and then forced the money into their own accounts, right? $31 million. Now, the funny part of this article is that, of course, this company bought $1 million in coverage of cyber fraud.
Oh, well, that helps.
Yeah. $30 million is outstanding.
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of silly, right, guys? You know, when we talk about FDIC, when they come and loot the bank, you know, and they come smash and grab through the bank and they come after your money in the bank, you're covered.
Right.
FDIC insured. Who in their right mind is going to insure fake money cryptocurrency? Well, they got $1 million in coverage.
I was going to say they did get a policy from somebody.
$31 million losses so far. We'll put the link here for you. You can read it yourself and understand. Fools and their money and their fake money are soon parted. I'm not shedding a tear, but you can take a look at it yourself and see what's going on here. But it's a pretty funny story from the Register. What else you got, Dennis?
Oh, what I've got here is a problem over at Microsoft with their Edge browser.
A problem?
A problem.
Yeah.
It seems that when you buy certain things, the browser will get its nose into your transaction.
In between you and the merchant.
And say, gee, wouldn't you like to pay for that on a time basis?
Later. Yes. We'll loan you the
buy
money.
Buy now, pay later. We will lend it to you. You pay us.
Yeah.
Apparently, Microsoft has partnered with a third-party service called Zip, and Zip is offering to allow you to make payments over time instead of just buying something outright.
Right.
And from the article that I read from PC Magazine, they announced this in the middle of November, which is right before
the
Christmas
season.
Shopping season.
Yep.
And now people are getting confronted by it.
Creepy.
And it's very creepy, and people are not happy.
No. I mean, why would you want your browser? Why is Microsoft's nose involved in whatever you're buying online? You know, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about Adobe was talking about what it knew about people's purchases. It was saying people are purchasing. I'm like, why the heck does Adobe know this? How does Adobe know this?
Adobe?
It was by Adobe. All this information was coming in from Adobe. And I'm like, wait a minute. The PDF company? So are they like scraping the data off of my browser to know whether or not I bought a Xbox or not?
Well, how would Adobe even be getting data out of a browser? They don't make browsers.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's the same thing. Microsoft's like, oh, Dennis, I see you want to buy a tractor, huh? Well, instead of paying for it through your credit card, let us loan you the money.
Oh.
And who knows what they're going to offer as far as percentage rates, but it's still creepy. Your browser doesn't need to be doing that. Speaking of creepy browsers, Microsoft Edge will now warn users of the dangers of downloading Google Chrome.
Danger?
Oh my gosh, Will Robinson.
Really?
Yes. Pop-ups range from straightforward to cheeky. One calls Chrome so 2008. Because basically, like I just bought probably my fifth tab computer system for home. Right?
Okay.
And the first thing I did with my Edge browser was download the Chrome browser.
Well, yeah, you and me and
everybody.
You know, 500 million other people.
Yeah, so Microsoft has noticed this. And what they're now doing is popping up a browser guilt. They're browser shaming you.
Shaming. That's a thing now.
Yes. Shaming is a thing, period. Anything you say to any kid that's at all funny, they call it shaming. That's another story. I promise not to talk about my kids. But they're browser shaming you. And some of the warnings that come up is Microsoft Edge runs on the same technology as Chrome. With the added trust of Microsoft. Oh, yeah. Thanks,
oh,
guys.
Yeah. Trust.
Yeah. I hate saving money, said no one ever. Microsoft Edge is the best browser for online shopping. Well, we just told you why it may not be.
Right.
That browser is so 2008. Do you know what's new? Microsoft Edge. Well, Microsoft Edge is based on the Chromium system that Chrome put out because the old IE was garbage.
Right. So they're making fun of Chrome because it's so 2008.
Right.
But what is Edge? It's the same Chromium browser.
Yes. I'll put the link up here for you guys. But this is really getting, it just reeks of desperation. I mean, how much more money does a $1 trillion company like Microsoft need where they have to get in between you and your purchase and actually offer you financing on the purchase? Whether you wanted them or not, hey, we'll loan you some money. It's just creepy. It just feels like you're going to a loan shark or something like that. Not that their rates are necessarily going to be high, but I bet you if we look further, they probably are. And now they get the browser saying, oh, I see you're downloading Chrome. You only want to use me for that? Well, yeah, it's really what we want to use you for.
That's right.
So we'll put these stories up here for you to review. We have three lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are broadcasting live over on the Facebook page over at WTIC's Facebook page. However, we're doing it over a cell phone because we can't seem to get on the Wi-Fi internal here for whatever reason. They made a change. Even the new password doesn't work, and Justin was trying to come to the rescue, but he's not going to happen. So we'll do our best. It is a little choppy out there on the Facebook page. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We got two lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. But we're going to get right to your calls and do our best to help you out. We're going to go to Stefan in New Britain first. Hey, Stefan, what's up?
Me, just barely.
What can we do for you?
I have a question on something I'm thinking of buying.
Yeah.
It's a Dell Optiplex 7040 tower.
All right.
It has an i7-6700 quad-core, up to 4.2 gigahertz, 1 terabyte solid-state drive, 16 gig RAM.
Nice.
Terabyte solid-state.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. No more spinning drives.
Nope.
It's got 4K UHD, monitored sport, HMDI, DVD-RW, which I need.
Yep.
Windows 10 Pro, Wi-Fi, the CPU speed's like 6700 up to 3.40 gigahertz.
Nice.
What the heck is PCI? 3 PCI total, is that slots?
Yeah. Yes, those are expansion slots in the back of the computer.
Yeah, because I'm probably going to need more RAM than that. Anyways,
more RAM, but RAM is not
RAM
in those
doesn't
slots.
Go into the expansion slots. RAM goes into its own slots.
Oh, okay. But the expansion slots would be used for...
Well, they'd be used for video cards.
Video card, network adapter, or...
Not a whole lot these days.
They're not too often used. If you needed like a serial connection to a device, you could get a serial I.O. card, a few other things like that.
Or a capture board.
I'm going to use it for multi-track digital audio recording.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you might need a better video. I might need a better audio card in there. Stuff.
Right. Or a card that's capable of audio capture and everything.
Well, okay. Well, anyways, I'm just setting up a basic system first, and then I'll worry about the expansion. However, there is a concern about this particular model.
Okay.
The 7040, I was reading online that a lot of businesses got it, and they wound up with problems.
Yeah.
With that particular model. Now, can I say who I'm thinking of buying this from? It's a company.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's coming from, it's a Dell machine.
Right.
So you'd be getting it from Dell.
Yeah, the seller isn't going to make it a lemon computer.
No.
So.
Oh, okay. But I've heard that the power supply gives out like once a month from one of the online music forums that I'm on. And, and he stated that, it's a great computer, except I had to buy a new power supply every month. And I was wondering if you
know
what happened.
We've seen that kind of thing can happen across any maker model of any system, right? It can happen. It can even happen to us when we're building systems that the component we might choose has a issue, right? We've had batches, quote unquote, of bad power supplies or what have you from the manufacturer. So that can occur to any manufacturer, any company, any time.
Remember, Dell isn't manufacturing their own power supplies. They're getting them from another manufacturer.
Right.
So they can only take the word of that company that the power supplies are good.
Yeah, and then they assemble them and they slap a Dell logo on it. So, I mean, the real thing is how they're going to stand behind it, right? Are they going to support and be there for the machine when we build them?
Well, not Dell. I mean, these are used.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, these are refurbished.
Oh, so you got a 90-day warranty.
I got a 90-day warranty.
Now, worst-case scenario, you buy another power supply, or you maybe add better power protection on the system, buy a UPS that's going to give you nice, clean power, and that might help it last longer if it has an issue.
What?
UPS, uninterruptible power supply. With that, that'll help
aren't
it.
Aren't they rather expensive?
No.
No.
Okay. $150. $150 bucks for a 500.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of like a tower being monitor finicky? Like it likes this monitor versus that monitor? No. Oh, and just before I go, the McAfee getting rid of it off my computer that you guys gave me, I don't know, 9 months ago or something like that.
Yeah.
It worked.
Oh, good. We got it off there finally for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It worked. I was trying to get that off my computer like forever, and your link, I clicked on it, I did what it said, and it's gone.
Nice. Well, that's good news. Well, I mean, just be careful. Buyer beware on a refurbished unit. You've done your research, so...
Well, I've done as much research as I'm capable of doing. I'm not a computer nerd.
How much is it going to cost?
$500.
Ah, see. So that's a refurb box that's probably a good 3 or 4 years old already for $500. Now, I would tell you to maybe consider saving up so that you can buy a new one rather than a refurb one, because it's already got a lifespan underneath it.
I'm trying to keep it under a G.
I know.
I've heard about the new processors like the i9.
Yeah, the 11th gen is out there is really what you want to look for. 11th gen systems is going to give you the most bang for your dollar. We had a guy call in about, hey, Costco's got these i5s for like $500, like you said. Uh-huh. It was a fifth gen.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's really old.
Well, the thing is I had to consult the software company before I go buy the computer.
Smart. Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, that's the smart thing to do.
So I know what it needs, not minimum requirements, but recommended
correct
requirements, because I'll be playing back tracks of audio. I'm not into video games or anything like that, but the audio, not a lot of people... By and large, if you looked at like video game consumers versus audio consumers, I mean, audio consumers are almost non-existent compared to video games. But I need to play back the tracks I've recorded so I can mix them down, so on and so forth.
Yep. No, I know what you're doing. Believe it or not, there's a lot of people that do what you do.
Yeah. You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
But so, you're on the right track. You know, you got buyer beware. You know, I think
so
you've done enough research.
Look for something newer.
I would tell you to look for something newer if you can afford it, or save a little bit more money than that
online
before you do
Best
it.
Best Buy or what's the
online, whichever you want to do, or Best Buy, or you can go to Staples to try to look at that. But we're running out of time, Stefan. But I would,
okay. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Ready. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. So Stefan's going to go buy a system. You guys are going to stick around. Two lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers, and we are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out. We're having trouble broadcasting on the Facebook page. Sorry about that. All of our systems can see the new access points in the studio, except for the one we're using to stream. I don't know why. Yes, I'm the geek, and you're saying, why can't you fix it? But both Dennis and I looked at it. We don't know why it's not working right now. We don't have enough time to troubleshoot it. Yes, we can fix your issues over a minute and a half, but in here we can't. We have no idea why that Wi-Fi is not showing up. But I digress. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Paul in Newington first. What's happening, Paul?
Hi. I have a question about password managers.
Sure.
And the difference between like Apple Keychain as an Apple manager, or Chrome, or commercial program like 1Password or Dashlane.
Yeah, so Chrome I wouldn't use as a password manager.
Well, it stores passwords that it picks up that you've used in the browser.
Yeah.
Apple Keychain is similar. It's an app that runs on the computer, and it collects up passwords for different things, including network devices that you connect to. But things like 1Password and Dashlane, those are online services that are password vaults, and you can store things, you know, in their clouds,
right?
Or you can use their software and then store them in a vault on a computer that you've got. But those are they're fundamentally a little bit different than just the password collection that Chrome does, or even Keychain on your Mac.
I would tell you to go with a password manager if you're going to choose it, and check out Bitwarden. It's a open source, pretty good password manager. And then if you secure it with something like a Yubico key, you've locked down your passwords pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll do a good job for you, and it's free, open source.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, does a program like that, I know I've looked into like 1Password and Dashlane, where they create stronger passwords.
Yep.
Yes.
The problem now is, you know, when you look at how long it takes to hack passwords, and so they're telling you like to go to 13
characters.
Digits, yeah. Characters.
You should use a passphrase, not password anymore.
Right.
Yeah, you should always type in Computer Talk with Tab is great as your password.
Like that one?
Exclamation point. That's a pretty good password, I'll tell you. They're not going to hack it. And if you do everything with the caps and all that, and you have the exclamation point and some numbers.
Yeah. But they, you know, they talk about, you know, using symbols and numbers and So the problem is getting more and more difficult to keep track of them.
Well, not if you use a phrase, Mike. So believe it or not, and you use two-factor authentication. So let's say you're an Amazon customer.
Yep.
Amazon is great! Exclamation point.
Yes.
765 or whatever you want to do. That you put in as your password. So if you use the phrase, now the only way they're going to get this if they figure out that you're always using Amazon is great and Computer Talk, you know, if you start showing a pattern of how you're doing it. But you can create a phrase that is within a pattern that'll help you remember if you don't want to use a password manager to just preload, because the password manager can inject the password for you.
Right.
There's add-ons that can sit right there and it'll do that. But a passphrase is pretty hard to hack because they're a lot longer. And if you add the two-factor authentication, either with a Yubico key, which is pretty much as secure as it gets, or if you had to use your phone or what have you, you're in pretty good shape. And just think about a passphrase these days instead of a password. Believe it or not, you can in many instances, you can have spaces that are part of your password as well. So that counts as as a character.
Okay.
And in some systems it won't,
right.
But in some systems it can.
Right. So you're saying that using a passphrase and a two-factor authentication is...
It's pretty darn tough.
Yeah.
An easier way probably than going with a password manager.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, a password manager, if you want to get into the configuration of it and have it truly manage your life, but you're putting everything in that box. So
yes,
you better
right.
be able to get in that box and if something goes wrong where you forget the password to the password manager.
Okay.
Right. And remember, there's a difference between managing the passwords that you have and coming up with good passwords for each thing that it's connecting to.
Right. If the manager will do it for you, you won't even have to think about it. It can inject things for you. But
right.
then again, let's say you're not using the computer that's got the browser helper on there to do
right.
it.
Right. And then you're stuck then you're for stuck. The password.
Right.
Another thing that you can do to create a good password is to come up with a sentence.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first letter of each word... And you capitalize some of those and maybe substitute a symbol,
mm-hmm.
but you can come up with a sentence and then distill out of that maybe a 10-character password.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that can be very difficult to break because there's no way for somebody to semantically figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can figure out Amazon and then some numbers and a symbol.
Correct.
But if you've got a sentence that's just first letter of each
yeah.
word, there's no way for anybody to materially guess that.
Right. But could you use the same sentence and then just different characters
correct.
At the end?
You could.
Yes. You could also use that sentence and then append a different word for the different things that you're using. You can make your Facebook password that sentence and then
yeah.
add
like
Facebook
Zuck.
To the end of it.
Right, Zuck sucks.
Or
exclamation
Zuck
point.
Sucks.
And then, you know.
Gotcha.
However you feel about the product you're logging into. You should see my password for my Cox service.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's that's the kind of stuff you got to do. Like, and just think of different ways to create that approach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, like Dennis said, an approach like that, if you come up with the Mike approach to passwords, I'm sorry, the Paul approach to passwords, you'll always approach it that way and it'll be easier for you to remember. You know how like Microsoft has that clue password
right.
hint,
right?
You know,
right.
It'll be already in your head because that's the approach you take all the time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your advice. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck, Paul.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hopefully someday we won't even need passwords. It'll all be biometric and, you know, fingerprint / retina / face.
Well, that's how I log into my computer here.
Yeah.
It's my face. I flip it open, power it up, it sees me, and I'm in.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah, whether you got a beard, whether you don't have a beard, it should be
it
able to
it. Figures it out.
Right.
I can even stare into it with my head at an angle, and it'll figure that out,
People
which is
think
amazing.
You're weird, but... But password managers are good. Add that second factor, guys, though. That's really yeah. the key. And if you can add that Yubico key, that piece of hardware that's on your person, you could put a password of password. You really could do that because that second factor, that Yubico key, won't let them in if they have the password or password. They can think, oh, that guy Dennis used a password or password. I'm going to get him. No, you're not.
No.
Because that Yubico key has to be touched as you log in physically.
Right.
And connected to the computer. So you can change your password to be super simple if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to, I guess, Mike in Bristol here. Try to get another call in. Hey, Mike.
Yes. I just bought on Black Friday, I bought a brand new low-end Dell.
Okay.
It's first time it's loaded with Windows 11.
Okay.
I have old programmed little things that I used to run on previous machines with JavaScript. You know, now this is the Microsoft Edge. It on the old Windows 10, you could select from Internet Explorer
yes.
or Microsoft Edge. On Windows 11, you can't do that. It's just open with. And the selection is Microsoft Edge and a few others, but not Internet Explorer. It reduces that. Anyways, some of the things I have, some of the little programs I have, will not run on the new Windows 11. All these things I used to write in JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
They would make little files with file system object. It would do all these things, read web pages to assemble what's being played on an internet radio station all day. Runs on the old XP 7, 8, and 10 Windows.
Right.
But 11, I've tried, I've looked, I've been reading for 2 days. I just got the machine on Wednesday trying to solve it. Any idea? Will I be ever be able to run it on a Windows 11 machine?
Yes.
How? I've gone to trying to enable the JavaScript in the Windows in the Edge. That still does not solve the problem.
There should be. I'm reading an article as to how to do it. Isn't that how ironic we're trying to figure out how to get IE back on 11?
Uh-huh. Yes.
When it runs these things, it still creates these little files that I wanted, but it will not read with if anybody's acquainted with JavaScript, there used to be a get, G-E-T function, mm-hmm. where you could get a web page and then analyze it and strip some information off it. That will not run anymore. It's like not the full... Not the full internet. Internet Explorer runs anymore. You don't even have a toolbar selection. You can't get a toolbar selection on the Internet Explorer emulate.
All right. So you have to enable the Internet Explorer mode in Windows 11. Oh, you did. Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. I'm trying to read and listen to your problem at the same time.
Otherwise, I'm going to send the machine back. I've got I could never really go on to Windows 11. If I want these things to run, I'm just going to have to get Windows 10 machines.
I know, right? So you're having to go backwards. You know
or,
what?
Or
let us
stay.
Let us put you on hold for a second, then, Mike, and see what we can find, okay? Because we're bucking Microsoft here.
Yes.
And let's see if we can find an answer for you during a quick break. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to put Mike on hold. And this is actually all worn off here. Put Mike on hold. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is a little Gary Ho-Ho-Ho-y for you. 'Tis the season. And feel free to get online. We have one line open for you. We're back with Mike in Bristol, who is fighting with Microsoft because they took away the old Internet Explorer and you can't run your JavaScript anymore the way you want to, correct?
Right.
So we've done some research, and we put a link up on computertalkwithtab.com. Microsoft is touting this IE mode in Edge.
Yes.
That talks about actually allowing for all this legacy stuff to work better. And Forrester even did a study. It's going to 1.2 million in savings for folks not having to rewrite their legacy stuff. But in your case, it ain't working.
Half of it. You know, some of the JavaScript seems to be working, but mm-hmm. some things won't. It's primarily what they call a GET statement.
Yeah.
That gets a web page, and then you could analyze it. You know, the program analyzes the web page, but no. It stalls there. I simplified things where I see that's what's not happening.
Okay. What about trying a different browser to see if your stuff will work besides using Edge?
This Windows 11 on this low-end machine, it's a beautiful, low-end, inexpensive $230 machine.
Yeah.
But it's in the S mode.
Well, you can fix that.
Oh, you can disable S mode.
I know. That's true. That is true.
So if
you can do it in like 20 seconds.
Yeah, disable the S mode, Mike, and try a different browser. Try Chrome to see if it'll work. Try any other third-party browser because you're obviously not having success here. I think it's your only option. Everything I've read, Microsoft is saying, our Edge is so great for legacy stuff, you're going to save so much money. And you're instantly, it doesn't work for you.
And Windows 10 up. Windows 10 was fine.
I know.
Yes.
Windows 7 was fine. Windows XP was pretty good.
See,
yeah.
It seems that they kept part of the Internet Explorer, a good portion, but some things they must have, functions they must have threw away.
Well, yeah, they rewrote the whole thing in Chromium, and that's why it's the Edge browser now.
They rewrote it, so it's not exactly the same code that's executing anymore.
Okay, so you're saying just to get out of the S mode. Now, with the S mode, you have a Windows Defender in there. Do I have to get I'll have to get antivirus.
No, no. You get you get Windows Defender still.
Defender will still run either way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it goes back to regular home mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the only way that S mode makes you more secure is that it prevents you from being able to install or run external, out of Windows Market code.
Other than
that, the Windows Defender is still going to run.
It's still going to run, even if I come out of that into the, I guess it's the home mode it would be.
Yep.
Okay. That's what I'll have to try.
Go ahead, Mike. You got nothing else to do on a Saturday, do you?
Well,
but
I
fight with Microsoft.
I spent 2 days on this and reading up on everything, and I am computer savvy. First time I was on a computer was in 1973 when I was 18 years old, a freshman at CCSU. Back then it was called CCSC. Mr. Cordona was my student at one time. I was a physics adjunct teacher there, and Mr. Cardona, the Secretary of Education.
Oh,
yes, I knew he was somebody special, but back then.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Good luck, Mike.
I'll give that a try. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Right.
All right. So he's got some experience.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Nancy in Mansfield next. What's going on, Nancy?
Well, I got a new iPad, and I can't get it to connect to my Wi-Fi, and that's not exactly true. I can sign into my Wi-Fi, but I can't get to my home page on my Wi-Fi Netgear to make some adjustments, because at some point in time I was worried that somebody was tapping my Wi-Fi, so I put a limit on it, and I said no new devices.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay. And now you can't get into it to turn that off.
Thank you. But I can't, for years. In June of this year, I signed in at routerlogin.net.
Okay.
And I put admin, and I changed the password.
What did you change it to?
One of mine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I didn't just use password, which is what they had before.
What did you use?
Do you really want it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did black.
No, stop. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm not. So anyhow, I changed it to my own password.
Good.
But now I can't get to that homepage.
Right.
And I'm finding that other people are in the same boat. But if you can get to any kind of a login for Netgear, they want you to put your credit card number in.
What?
Yeah, I'm not paying.
Wow. You want to log into your local router IP address, which is probably 192.168.1.1. Have you tried that?
What? No. What? 192.168.
Yeah. .1.1. If you put that in your browser, you should get the local router rather than going out to the cloud and back to your router, which is their back end interface they're trying to get you to use. And why they use a credit card? I mean, gosh, these companies are just gross. Just go ahead and connect in directly to the IP address.
Okay.
Right. And it should give you the admin and the password that you were going to tell us.
Right. And, I mean, it knows my password because I actually was able to, to activate Wi-Fi on my iPad using the password. Of course, that didn't come easy, but I did.
Yeah.
So and I don't use it for a lot. I use it for my Kindle, my Roku, my Lexus.
But Nancy, your password for your router should be different than your SSID password. It sounds like you've made them the same. So when I want to access my router, my password is a different password than if I use for the SSIDs that allow for the Wi-Fi access. Those are two different passwords. Does that make sense?
Well, I can see that there's two different things, but I just have always, I mean, it came with nothing, so I...
Right. You use the same password for your SSID.
Yeah.
So if I was a guest to your house, I'd have access to your router because you give me the password.
Okay.
Now, only you and I know this right now.
Right.
It's just the two of us talking. And Dennis. Dennis listens too.
Sometimes.
But it's not a good idea to make your router password the same as your SSID password. They should be two different things.
Okay.
So right. Can you get in?
I mean, I can change it. I don't mind changing the passwords. But, I mean, it knows who I am, but it won't let me. So when I try to access the internet, it says, whoa, locked out.
Right. You get to log into the router and expand it a bit, and that way your device will be able to get online better.
All right. So you think if I put in
192.168.1.1
in my search browser.
Yep. You should get a Netgear login.
Also, you might want to, if that doesn't work, try 192.168.0.1, because some Netgear routers have that as the default scheme.
Oh, okay.
All right, Nancy.
All right.
And we're going to be here till 11.
Okay, well, I'm going to go over on the computer and try it. This whole thing has been so frustrating.
Well, I had a feeling.
Oh,
we'll
we
be
hear
here.
You.
Well, and I have, and of course, I bought this iPad in August, and it took me all this time to get Verizon to liven it up for me. And it still doesn't work, so I'm not happy.
We'll get you there, Nance.
All right, thank you. I'll call back if I need to.
All right, we'll be here. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand-new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.